Hacks.
Ring-a-ding-ding, you got the kings. Welcome to another episode of the Phone Hacks Podcast with me, Mike Goldstein, and the Patrick to my SpongeBob, Nick Capper.
Hello. I never watched SpongeBob. I'm not a fucking dog. No? Were you still watching SpongeBob? Because you're older than me, and SpongeBob is too young for me. What were you doing?
I had to check with my partner. She's about a decade younger than me to make sure the references held up and they're all right. And she said I'm more like Squidward, apparently, which I think is the Jewish accountant on the show. So that checks out.
Even under the sea, the accountant is Jewish.
I heard he's the emotionless comedy backstabber of the...
Oh, shit. Yeah. Fuck, that's okay.
SpongeBob gets specific.
joining us from Sydney via Zoom, second time you've been on the show, it's Tom Cashman. How are you, man?
Thank you very much. I'm pretty good, feeling pretty good about the lack of restrictions up here. And having had a bit of a chat to you guys, it's been quite clear that your mental health is in a worse state than mine, so I'm feeling very happy.
You're really rubbing it in, straight away. We're recording this on a Friday night early, and you're like, can we get this done quick? Because I have a life to go out and live, and it's all happening out in the real world.
Yeah, it's pretty good up here, boys. Fuck you guys. It sucks down there. sucked in.
What are you doing? You're free and clear. You're living it up in Sydney. Like, I noticed, are you gigging? Are you out there just visiting your glory holes again? Is it all back to normal?
Okay, so I'll answer both those questions kind of separately. First of all, on the glory hole question, fuck you, none of your business. There's no reason why I would let anyone know about that before or during the pandemic. But if you have to know, the glory hole industry has kept going.
Oh, good.
But the gigs are kind of, there's less gigs now. So like max, I reckon you can do like one a week. A few people have been doing more. But yeah, I think originally... Yeah. They were pretty good because everyone was quite nice because everyone was just happy to watch anything. But then I think some of these shows now, they're paying $50 for like a meal and then watching like five of the most dog shit acts.
That's the thing.
In the city.
Oh, dude.
And I feel like people are already over it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. The meal's usually not great and they're all sitting, they're spread out across the room and then it's like, and it's going to be the same acts. Like if your borders, especially, you know, I think we touched on before we recorded, if your borders are shut, like people are gonna get sick of your local acts real quick.
Absolutely. And everyone's terrible because they've had months off. So you're paying $50 to eat like a cold steak and like five nervous Nellies. You're like, it's not funny. But I think the first few people are like, yeah, you know, very supportive. Yeah. But now it's like you're expected to be good, which is something I've always, I've never liked that.
No.
Yeah, I think that's why the second wave will be terrible for us because the first wave people, like after the first lockdown, people were like, oh, yeah, I've got to support comedy. It's a fun, intimate vibe. Everyone's in this together. But after the second lockdown, people will be like, I don't want to go through that again.
Yeah. Everyone's like, fucking, I need more superannuation. Yeah. Dude. I was thinking about the arts.
Yeah.
That's my other problem with there's been a lot of like, well, not a lot of, probably not enough, but there's been some attention focused on the performing arts industry and like people asking for funding. There's been a bit of funding from the government, but not heaps.
Yeah.
But in a lot of the, like particularly when you see on the news and stuff, and they're talking about the arts and whether there should be more funding, then they show like what the arts is, just like clips like they do on the news.
Yeah.
And it's always just like some old woman dressed up like a genie being like, ooh, in like on theater. You're like, that's the arts is better than that. Like, no one's going to want to fund that. Get Goldstein in there.
Get me in there in my shiny genie outfit and fucking crush, bro. That's the true art right there.
You're right,
that's
man. It's always someone in a fucking swan suit doing a dance or like...
Pantomime. Well,
and you can see how they picked it. It's like visually denotes the arts more than like stand-up does. But it's like people aren't going to want to fund this. Like that's the first thing to go in a crisis. Are you kidding? Some person prancing around in a stupid suit.
Oh, dude.
Probably for children.
Like, a YouTube video of like Superwog.
That's it.
People are like, sick, this is awesome. I'm back.
That would be the dream. Imagine someone plays your clips and then you're getting laughs on the fucking news. Imagine that. 7:30 report, saw it, crushed. That's the new special.
But this is the second time you've been on. You did a live show when Melbourne Comedy Festival was on last year.
I did.
And I remember your hack, because you like making graphs and putting them up on Twitter. And I remember how bad it bombed in the room when I floated your hack, which was a graph that was X and Y graph with your penis during intercourse. People are like, yeah, that's not that good. And you're like, I mean, I'll put it up, but whatever. Yeah.
My biggest problem with that, though, was the pity likes I got. You know what I mean? Because I like to think the graphs that I do are, like, pretty funny. And then so you see the people that liked it, you're like, well, so you can't tell the difference between that and, like, the ones I do. I did speak to one guy who was like, I will admit that was a pity. Like, it didn't make sense to me.
But those are your true fans, the people that like the even the absolute dog shit that you put up. You know,
those are called friends. They're not fans.
It's funny, man, because you're an ex-lawyer as well.
Yeah,
aren't you? So you and Mike, you both got friends that are like, well, good on him. He's clearly made a mistake, but we're going to keep cheering him on.
Exactly.
Good work, little buddy.
And that's the vibe that you absolutely want to avoid at all costs. That's it's pity. Nothing worse.
But then the
other hack you did on me was also resulted in pity, which has like affected my life in a negative way. Because
what was the other hack? I forget.
The other hack was like a Facebook post where I basically made it seem like I was having a bad time at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. And I don't think you said this explicitly, but I think it was implied that I was having trouble with money. And Georgie Carroll hit me up privately, like almost immediately, being like, hey, mate, if you need any help, like, let me know and I can lend you some money, which is so nice. And then I have to explain, like, no, it's actually like a prank. And like, then she feels stupid for being nice. But then also I feel like now she gets credit. She didn't have to give me any fucking money, but she like gets the emotional credit for having given me money. Now I kind of owe her now.
Totally. She reached out. True. She was the better person. And really, you know, exactly. It was just a shitty prank that fucking went nowhere. That's our stock and trade, though. Shitty pranks that go nowhere. We've done 120 episodes of that. So.
I might start, actually, if you could let me know every time you record and get a sense of like who's being done. And then at that time, use that as an opportunity to offer them a huge favor that I know they won't call me on. But then, like, that person likes me and thinks I'm really nice.
Man, I do that sometimes. I do that. Like, if there's someone I don't really like, but I kind of want to stay true with them, I give them an offer that I know that they're going to knock back. And then you kind of look cool then.
Totally. It's the opposite of The Godfather. It's an offer you have to refuse.
And then you realize that they're not the prick, you're the prick, but you're cool with it, you know?
I mean, that's extremely emotionally manipulative what you're doing. You're an asshole.
Oh, totally. But I think because the hacks on that one, because Luke Heggie did that live one as well, didn't he?
Yes.
And so we got him in a Batman t-shirt saying, I miss my kids. So I think that was like overshadowed anything that would happen.
I've never seen Heggie so distraught. Genuinely a broken man, because he was stuck between, because he's a man of honor, and I think he wouldn't want to like pull out of a joke, so he had to do it, but he was also just really, really, really didn't want to do it.
Oh yeah, because it showed emotion, and then also that he was a huge comic book dweeb, you know. So
actually, this is the trouble that I ran into, because I have previously, and I'm glad you brought it up. I think just before that, maybe about a month before that, I thought it would be interesting to, because I don't know much about cars, to survey a bunch of people about what, to rank a bunch of the most famous car brands in terms of what they thought was the most fancy. And then in doing so, I didn't think I was going to do anything public with that information, but in recording it, a few people thought that I was, so I thought I'd put some data together and then kind of release the data, right? And it was like, it's not even a joke. It was just like interesting information about like what some people I know think about cars and which ones are the fanciest cars, right?
It's the most autistic shit though, I've ever heard.
Well, now when I am in a conversation about whether a Subaru is more fancy than a Volkswagen, who has the fucking answers, mate? I'll tell you what. But I think a few people felt betrayed by that because they thought that was like a personal exchange and then...
shared.
I kind of shared. Not like, it's pretty like unemotional information as far as I'm concerned. Mm. But then, I don't know, also I suppose I've put other stuff on social media where like I've revealed people's names or something. Not heaps. But yeah, I found out about this fund. I was skeptical at first because kind of the website looks dodgy, but I thought it only takes like 10 minutes to sign up and like send through the info. So I just did it.
Yeah.
And then got the money. So I'm like, I'm letting everyone know, like, because it's like free money during a crisis. Like, some people really need some money. Yeah. And then I just had such trouble convincing people that I wasn't kidding. Like, some mates legit, you were one of the quickest on the, to believe me, Kappa. Some people still haven't done it because they think I'm fucking with them and I've like created the site or something.
Man, I did it. And then like it took about 4.5 weeks, but like the money hit my PayPal and I was like, holy shit.
It's a lot of money, man. Yeah, it's like $700.
Yeah, Cashman and the Sandman coming through with the fucking money.
But then the real injustice for me is that one of the people that I told about it is probably, if I could venture to say, friend of the show, Ray Badrin, who's over in England. And he didn't believe me either, but eventually talked him around and then he applied for it and he got the money. And then he apparently is telling all these English comedians, some of whom I know, and is getting all this credit for it. They all believe in him.
he's the hero.
Yeah, he's become the hero of my fucking... Heidi Reagan, who's an Aussie who lives over there in London, who I've met a bunch of times, she is going to name... So she's getting her like eggs paid for. What's that process called when you're like having a kid?
Oh, surrogacy. No.
Frozen egg. What is it?
It's like you freeze your eggs and then you know, it's a process to try and have a kid. It's like an expensive process. And she was like struggling to make those payments and she got the money and it really helped with that. And so it was like very earnestly sending Ray thank yous and said she's going to maybe name the kid after him. So that's the difference between the credit that two people get for the same recommendation.
Could you imagine a little Ray Badrum baby like...
People trust me, so I get credit for things even though I don't deserve it.
That's probably what the baby would say.
Dude, what is, like, just for $700, would it be like £500, even less, she names her goddamn child Raymond? Nobody loves Raymond. That's the fucking worst name.
Yeah, everyone hates Raymond after the 90s.
Dude, but people should trust you. Like, I mean, you're a trustworthy dude. But Capper and I, no one trusts us. So when that money came through, I sent Dan Connell the link. And I said, man, you should do this. This is legit. Mm. I just got the money. And his response straight away, haha, is this Capper, right?
Well, that is the trouble with it, is that I agree with what you said, Kappa. If it was a joke, it's one of the cruelest jokes of all time.
Yeah.
To be like, hey, here's some support during such a troubling time. Oh, I fucking got ya.
The funniest thing is, though, Mike's such a negative Nelly because we got the money on the same day, Mike and I did.
Mm.
And he goes, yeah, they sent me up a fucking follow-up email, so now I'm on their fucking email list.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want these. I don't want to have to hit unsubscribe.
Oh, a little bigger number in my promo folder in my Gmail. Oh, my goodness gracious.
He's like, I knew there was a catch. Yeah. I knew they'd get me.
Sandman.
But, now I'm all about Sandler now. His shit show of a movie, Blended, was on the other day. And I was like, look, I'll throw some support back. I'll watch a bit of this.
It's pretty good that like just these huge comics did a few shows and then like the international comedy community gets to have a crack.
Yeah.
Although apparently Ray Badrin spent it on a one-person trip to Paris during a pandemic.
I was wondering how he got to Paris.
Yeah.
He went to the City of Love without his girlfriend the money.
Wait, no. He did our podcast when he was there by himself at like 8 a.m. in the morning. Yeah.
That's what he spent the money on, man. Yeah. That's how the Sandman is funding. Like, what world do we live in when Adam Sandler is giving Ray money to go?
And Ray, the headliner dropped out in Paris, so Ray got more work. Yeah. He got like 3 headline spots that were paid.
Arsehole.
So thanks to the Sandman, fucking Ray is doing rack and eating baguettes in Paris.
Exactly.
Holy shit. But thanks for putting us onto it, because it was a good little boost during these times, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
free money. I couldn't believe my luck.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
So good. Mike, we should tell everyone what the show is about for those who haven't listened before.
Yeah. Any first-time listeners, the premise of the show is we all swap phones and a spinning wheel decides whether we go through draft tweets, notes, camera roll, or search history. But because it's over Zoom for at least the next few weeks, we'll just be holding our phones up to the screen. If something comes up that you want cut from the episode or don't want to talk about in general, we don't have a bell, so we've been doing this safe word. Cashman puts you on the spot a bit, but just pick a safe word to yell out for the episode.
Glory hole.
Glory hole. Nice.
Glory hole.
Hell yes. Right. Yeah.
Because it's something I'm unfamiliar with. Just like safety, because I'm a man of danger.
Dude, glory holes are social distancing still for the most part, right? So they should be safe.
I don't know. It depends whether they've spat on their dick before. That's probably a bit dirty for my taste.
Oh, but you said it.
Yeah, I know. Just wanted to reflect on that.
I don't know. I don't know if I could get into glory holes because, like, the, you know, the wall.
Oh, you don't reckon you'd fit in? All right, champion. Fucking hell. Yeah, they're generally not girthy enough for me. That's the only reason I don't use them.
Maybe if they had a glory tunnel of some kind, then I could do that. But doesn't matter how thin the material is, wouldn't it still take away that feeling? You know, like when you're doing the stuff, it's kind of got to go all the way to the base, you know what I mean? Like, if people are just jerking the knob, I don't know. I don't know if it would have the same feeling.
I completely agree with you. And to be honest, I've never thought about that. And I think you're right. But yeah. I feel like if you were into having sex via a glory hole, you'd be so overwhelmed by, like, getting to do that, that I feel like the extra centimeter you could, you know, take or leave. I feel like that's the answer to you.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a sign that you're not into a glory hole. Yeah. This is the kind of nitpicking that doesn't match with glory hole fucking behavior.
Yeah.
I reckon we should do, like, a cool, like, Mike and I should do a spin-off podcast called Glory Hacks. And it's where we go to a glory hole and people put their dicks in the glory hole and then we, like, dress them up as little characters or paint them. And then once they take the dick out, they're like, oh, damn it, I didn't get jerked off. Now my dick looks like a Smurf.
Well, you write little messages on there.
What are you doing with your life?
We put a dog on the end of their dick or something and then we take a video of it like, oh, you just fucked a dog.
Oh, this is just, you just want to blackmail people at this point. Yeah. That's right.
Hang on, so you reckon you're going to go into some toilets, you're going to drill a hole, you're going to set up a camera in one stall and in the other stall, the one you're in. So you're filming the dog, you're filming you with the dog, but you're also filming them because you've got to prove it was them to blackmail them. You're going to do that, you're going to make them fuck the dog, and then you're going to send that to blackmail them.
It's a lot involved.
I reckon you don't come off great in that footage.
Imagine taking that to like 60 Minutes or like,
exactly.
Yeah, so, I've got something on this Prime Minister, look. I put a dog onto his dick. And then, I put two cameras up filming it.
There's so much
involved.
You've got a mask on.
Yeah, like, is that you? You're like, no.
We struggled to set up a Zoom meeting. I don't think we're going to do all the steps involved in getting some guy to fuck a dog.
Oh, talk about frustrating. I framed the Prime Minister. I made him fuck a dog and the bloody second camera stopped filming before it happened. We've got to go again. Get back in here, Scotty. The second time.
Yeah, it's a great
issue. Yeah. All right. Well, so yeah, the we covered glory holes. Is there anything else before we launch?
No, we didn't cover them. We got involved.
Yeah, we got involved. Capra's too girthy, apparently, to get through.
Yeah, I'll cover them. I don't know. Not even, I'll cover it up without even sticking it
Maybe
in.
Maybe that's the idea. You have like five different glory holes of different sizes next to each other.
Oh, yeah. It's like a Goldilocks scenario.
Yeah.
That's got fun size and then big boys.
Yeah. That would be fun unless your one only fit in the fun size one. Then you'd be like, oh, this is ridiculous.
Well, the problem with the glory hole
is patronizing.
Is that it also assumes that every dude is the same height. right? Because that's an issue.
Oh, so yeah. Now you're saying that we're not getting full entry and I'm having to squat?
Yeah, you either kind of squat or...
I'm going to call customer service. This is ridiculous.
Or, you know, your short dude's got to bring a little stool to get up there. You know, it's a whole issue. Yeah.
What's that stool for? Fucking none of your business, dude.
I like taking a shit on top of a brick, okay? I like my feet on a brick. While I take a shit.
Taking a brick into the toilets? What are you doing? Nothing, man. I'm doing cocaine in here. Whatever. Step ladder. Ignore me.
I'm an electrician, actually. I'm here to fix a light bulb. But there's no light bulb in that. It doesn't matter. Don't ask questions.
That's someone who thinks that tradies just carry around one brick with them.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So. Yeah. With the Goldilocks scenario, so you would need not only different circumference sizes, but you would need varying levels of height. You know, this if we live in an equal opportunity, woke glory hole world, you would need all the holes covered, is what I'm saying.
I agree with you, and I agree that the most prominent and most important type of discrimination in the world that's happening at the moment is based on A, height, and B, dick girth. Couldn't agree more, Goldstein. Those are your words.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm going to die on this hill.
Chode lives matter.
They do. Short chodes. I can't get in.
All right. All holes matter. We should get into the...
Sorry, one more.
All right. What do you got?
They're only just tall enough to peer into the glory hole to see what they're missing out on.
That hand looks beautiful.
Yeah. They could just whisper through it like, I wish I was taller.
To the tall guy in the next one. Having the time of his life.
The recaps from last week's episode, we had a friend of the show, friend in general, Gerard McGowan on, and Cashman, I don't know if you saw what he put up on Instagram. You might have just scrolled past it. Let's see, I got it here. It was a black and white of him and his cats. And the
that's good stuff.
The caption was, "I love these goddamn kitty cats more than anything in the world. XOXO, meow meow," and a little emoji of a kitty cat. And it just went off. I think it got more traction than anything he's posted on Instagram in a long while.
See, this is the trouble with what you do, because if you prove to someone that they're going to get engagement with some behavior, they could actually completely change their personalities. Yeah. And Jared, famous bit of a grump. He's going to start showing off about the cats. I can see it coming.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And he messaged me like 20 minutes after the episode. He was like, "Man, so many chicks are commenting." And it was. And he got tons of likes, and like, of course, his girlfriend was all over it. She loved it. You know,
you pranked him into being a cool guy.
Yeah,
he's gonna get 10 likes when he posts a photo of him in his Punisher rash guard.
Yeah, hang on. So did his girlfriend not? He didn't even tell his girlfriend that was fake.
I don't know if she knew he was doing the show, but you know, she's a big fan of posting cat content. Anyways,
absolutely.
So she was all over. But then the comments that came in on that post from randoms, that's when I think he panicked and he said, "Oh, I was on the Phone Hacks podcast, right?" Because he's left it up though. Like, obviously, you know, he's pretty proud of it.
But bit of one a cake guy, and eat it too situation.
Oh, totally. One guy said, after he said, "I was phone hacked," he said, "Glad to hear this was phone hacks and not from CTE injuries." So I guess that's from MMA. He does a bit of MMA. And, you know,
all right.
A bit of, my God. The guy's obsessed. He keeps insisting that I need to start getting into MMA fighting. Because otherwise, I'm going to get bashed in front of my girlfriend.
Well, that's
great. Don't want to take a guy like you along to MMA, because I think you would be a secret killer, like like gouging eyes, fucking bleeding ears, shit like that.
So hang on. So you say secret killer. What you mean is bad sport.
No, cheater. What I mean is
cheater. Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't say that a dude like McGowan is methodical with his ways that he is finding the key to the puzzle, whereas you would see the logical path to go down and then use that logical path to your advantage.
And you know what logical path I've gone down? Not fucking doing MMA.
Well, that brings up a story with you and I, Cashman, is that when I was in Sydney, one of the many times I was in Sydney, either earlier this year or maybe late last year, we all went out to a pub and we were drinking till all hours of the morning. And the pub like devolved into like a brawl, like a huge brawl.
We were out the front.
Out the front, yeah, being cool, having a cigarette. We are the Fonzies the comedy world. And then the brawl spilled out onto the front, and just like one dude was an absolute maniac. And we're all kind of like, there's a circumference kind of close to them where we're standing. And then I look over, and Cashman is like hiding down the street behind a tree, was it? Or was it behind a building?
I wasn't hiding. I was... I've moved back an appropriate distance from the extreme level of violence that was taking place. It was seriously extreme. Kappa, this guy was like methed up to the tits. Like, then this was like 4 a.m. or something. We'd had a big night. Like, this was like the hours where real shit happens. Yeah. And this is like right near Central Station. Like, it's a pub where, you know, people are... It was just a big fight. But one guy was like slamming on the door to get back in.
Yeah.
And all these cool cats are standing like a meter away being like, it's not fighting us. It's like, this guy is not a reasonable man. At any point, he could turn around and start swinging. Like, you don't know. I'm going to stand an appropriate 8 to 10 meters away. Whether there was a tree involved, who cares?
It's burned into my memory because I was like, where's Cashman? And then to see you, like, it was like the two hands peering around a building type thing. Exactly. And probably the smart thing to do, but at the time I was like, fuck, this sums up this
guy. I think the opposite angle was I went to a place where I felt safe and that's fine. But I was impressed by how close you were comfortable being. It was crazy to me. I have no idea why.
Man, there's nothing compared to the brawls back in Kansas.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Exactly.
Throw down all the time, man. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that actually brings up the hack that I had to do on the episode from last week. So when Gerard was on, Capper had me post on Facebook, yeah, my country is going through a hard time right now. How about you get off your ass and help rather than talk about how great everyone else is at handling things? MG, right? and the responses were a lot of comics like saying, cheers, MG, go get 'em, girl, get it, king. But then the weirdest response from that was a guy I haven't spoke to since high school who was a Marine, sent me a private message that said, what happened to that post? That was all. What happened to that post?
And he's like, that was great. I love that. Why did I get deleted? That was one of my favorite posts I've seen.
Dude, I hadn't posted anything since May of this year. And then he sees that. And this was his chance to reconnect. He was like, what happened to that post?
But hang on. That means that he loved the post so much he saw it, gave it a like, presumably, which is like a normal interaction with a post you like.
Yeah.
And then like days later, went back to like give it another read.
Yeah.
What?
Because I think people revisit posts to see the fallout, to see what, you know, type of shit show.
He likes the drama.
Yeah. And so he went, well, I don't know if he went back later even that same day, but he was like, what happened to that post? And I've been talking to this dude in 20 years. I was like, I'm just gonna not respond to this guy who posts like pro-Trump memes all the time. Mm.
That's so funny. You know Marines.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Man.
Kansas, like proper rednecky fucking hardcore Trump supporters. I feel like I'm not in the bubble on social media that everyone talks about because I went to high school in Kansas. So I get this, the far right and the far left and then comedians.
Yeah, you're just in another bubble. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm that as well because I'm from the country, but it's great because even my country mates, we know this girl. From near where I'm from, and she is full gone 5G conspiracy theory.
Oh, sick.
And it has come up with about 3 or 4 different mates that don't know that we've been talking about this. And even my mum was like, what happened to that girl? What's wrong with her? Doesn't she run a hotel in this town? Why is she talking about 5G all the time? Like, it's just amazing. It's great.
I feel like it's almost the same as Jared with the cat photos in that if you just would get new levels of engagement on your posts if you become a conspiracy theorist, particularly now, you know, people are indoors more, they're online more, because there's nothing better than having someone from high school go through a mental breakdown.
Oh, the best. Yeah,
it's great.
Like, it's something to talk about. It's drama in a, because that's the other thing about COVID. There's no gossip. Nothing's happening. So like, someone going crazy conspiracy is the best there is, really.
Well, that's why I also feel like people, you know, at first I was like, oh, this whole pandemic is going to give people perspective, and you know, no one's going to get canceled anymore because they'll realize how trivial and, you know, bullshit
that
is.
That's what I thought too, and that was true for a bit, for a week.
But then now it's like, no, everyone's online. Non-stop.
This is all we have to do, mate.
Yeah.
Any infraction.
And then, Capper, your hack, I'm interested to know if you had any response. Capper DM'd Judith Lucy, and the message was...
If you could, sick.
Hey, Jude, and then in brackets, like the Beatles song, lol, any chance you could put in a good word for me at Token? Cheers, Capper. Token being the big agency. No feedback?
Yeah. An no inappropriate feedback, thing to ask.
No feedback.
Because it's not clear.
And it's like I predicted. I'm like, I want to remove this like straight away. Like, I want to remove it. Like, but you and I have a duty of care to leave it up for an hour.
So a duty of care.
Duty of care to the episode.
Yeah.
We live for the system. Hack, die for the hack. Duty of care. And it's a duty of care you should adopt, Cashman, okay?
That is such an insult to people with legitimate duties of care. Doctors have duties of care.
This is the Hippocratic Oath that we live by. Yeah.
More like hypocritical oaf.
Swear on the oppo. Swear on the oppo.
Yeah. So, but the funniest thing was that she really never posts on Instagram, and it says the official account of Judith Lucy run by her agency at Token Management or whatever. So if anyone saw the message, it would have been them. But you just left it up.
Man, I just left it. I forgot about it. And I was like, fuck.
They're definitely gossiping about that in the office.
Man, they are.
It's the same shit as we were just talking about. There's no gossip at the moment. Kappa messaged Judith Lucy, hoping to be mentioned. Like, we.
Sometimes I hope that, like, it'll come back around, like our gossip just goes fucking wildfire, just to come back.
Totally.
Like, man, did you ask Judith Lucy if you could be the boss of Token? Like, something like that. Like, I'm waiting for that to happen. Like,
totally.
Did you message Judy Lucy and ask to be a manager? Like, what the fuck's wrong with you, bro? You know?
Or maybe they'll even forget. This happened to a cousin of mine. He was, like, up the coast a few months back. And he's, like, older. I don't know why that's relevant. But he ran into a guy. Like, he's been out of uni for 20 years. He ran into a girl from uni. And... his name's, I won't say his real name. Let's say his name's Maxwell. He runs into this.
Ghislaine Maxwell?
Yeah, let's say, you know. Yeah,
Jesus
this guy
Christ,
runs a very cool business, which I'm definitely not involved in. It's definitely not linked to the glory hole stuff that I'm also not involved in. But he just runs into this girl from uni and he's chatting to her for like, 2 minutes, like, oh, yeah, good to see you, blah, blah.
And her name is Louise C.K.
Yeah, this is a cool story.
It's an amazing story.
I'm related to some of the coolest people in the world.
This is a Netflix documentary. This is fucking great.
Exactly. But he's just like, oh, yeah, how you been, blah, blah, blah. And then he gets kind of to the end of the small talk bit of the interaction, and then she goes, like, kind of looks left and right and goes, oh, my God, did you hear what happened to Maxwell? And he's just like, I am Maxwell. And she goes, oh, and turns around and runs. No word of a lie.
Fuck. Does she?
But it's like bitching to the person that it's about.
But could he pinpoint what the potential gossip was about himself?
He'd been through a divorce.
Oh, so it was a divorce.
I think it's that.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. That's so good.
It's pretty awful, though. Like, he was laughing about it, but it's like, oh. Yeah.
Oh, dude, but any conversation that ends with someone just turning and bolting in the other direction is fucking amazing.
I think she just decided, like, oh, well, okay, yeah, no way to get this back, so I'm out.
I felt bad this week because on the Patreon episode, join up if you wanted whatever.
What a sell. Bucks. What a plug that was. The only income Capper and I have at the moment, he's like, yeah, join up, whatever.
Whatever, join up.
Colton's like,
I don't put any pressure on people. I don't know. I'm coy. I'm coy.
You've been showing off about this $700. You know, you don't need it. Yeah.
That's the most money I've ever had. You know, I've been living broke for so long, $700. I've been able to live off it for the last year. It's great. When Mike and I were in Brisbane, he was telling me how his buddy found out his girlfriend was cheating on him and they're about to get married or whatever.
Oh, my God.
And then Mike showed me in the Patreon episode, you know, we go through each other's Facebook memories and I'm like, it's Mike with a heap of his buddies and shit. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I bet one of those buddies is the one that got his girlfriend cheated on him. He's like, yeah, the girl's in the photo. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that is brutal.
Oh, you can go and back then, and see it all
happen.
Yeah, oh,
yeah, and the fucking dude looks like the nicest dude ever. Like, he doesn't look like a – I was picturing some jock that was – yeah, I don't know. Like
no,
one of
totally.
Mike's friends, you know what
someone
I mean?
Who deserved it. A Navy SEAL.
Yeah. You know, like a guy that's friends with Mike, you know, like a fucking chin and no personality or something. Yeah. You know?
So that was a sneaky plug in the end because you got to join the Patreon if you want to get the goods on that story.
It's very brutal. It's a brutal
story.
Or
you just heard a pretty accurate summary here for free.
No, so. Bullshit. No.
Shut up, Cashman.
Join the Patreon. Only $5 a month gets you 4 bonus episodes. And we're doing the video for $7.50 and up, and that video is where you can see one of my best friends who is also, got cucked completely.
Oh, God.
Those Facebook memories are annoying already without it being not only your ex coming up, but your ex with the guy who now you know the context.
Oh, dude.
You look back on every interaction you'd
ever had. Well, because we're doing the Patreon episodes, obviously, over Zoom now, and you can share a screen. And we did YouTube history. We've done laptop history. And those have been kind of embarrassing in certain ways. But the worst is Facebook memories. Like, the shit we were posting in 2009 or 2011. Totally. It's like, holy fuck. Who the hell was I?
Not me, dude. I was just posting the sicker stuff, like invest in Bitcoin now and shit like that.
What a legend.
What's your fanciest razor scooter, you reckon, to buy?
Oh, shit. All right, fuck. We're getting deep in.
Let's get into this. Sorry, this has been a long answer.
Dude, great. It's been fantastic so far, but we got to get into the phones. I'll spin the wheel first to see what we're going through this week. There's the wheel spinning, and it is search history.
Search history, Mike. So let's see your search history.
All right. Well, nothing's been happening in lockdown, so I've been on the phone a lot. Can you guys read that?
Oh, we need a bit closer, I reckon.
Closer, and I'll bring the brightness down a bit.
Did I see the Mandalorian? No. God removed Adam's rib, suck himself.
Yeah. Okay.
Hang on. Is that similar to a draft tweet?
It is. Well, it is because it was a draft. You could pick where it's going. Like, it was a draft tweet that I was like, surely this has been done before. And then so I Googled it, and it's been done so much before that God removed Adam's rib so he could suck his own dick. It's been done so many times before that there's like one of those satirical online newspapers does a whole story about God doing that exact same, you know what I mean?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. But so there was a bunch of tweets. Yeah.
There's a good twist, though, because what if God removed Adam's rib so God could suck him off? You know?
Fuck yeah. BJ Adam from Jim's. On high.
Or God removed Adam's rib so he could put it in his own chest so he wouldn't be tempted to suck himself off. Because God loves it. Come on.
Aaron Chen had a good he had a good version of that where he's like, if anyone, does anyone know anyone who have sucked them, got their ribs removed to suck themselves off? He goes, give those ribs to me. I love ribs.
See, that's pretty good. I mean, because every removing the rib to suck yourself off joke, I think has been, everyone's done the McRib, you know, like you can't get the McRib unless you want to suck your own McDick or whatever. So that was just me doing due diligence on the God removing the rib. And it had been done so much, I was like, not going to happen.
Has anyone done a thing like, I was so horny when I was a teenager, I got my ribs removed so I could put them up my ass while I jerked off?
I don't think anyone's done that. That's great. Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, it's a bit intense, I'll be honest. The imagery is quite insane.
It's pretty severe.
But I like it as a subversion of an existing thing.
Yeah.
I feel like eating the ribs would be a pretty insane...
Yeah.
Specific way to be a cannibal, you know?
Well, that's a meal and the dessert.
What about
the
this?
Ribs, yeah. And suck yourself off.
Has anyone flipped it completely and said, I removed my dick so I could suck my own rib?
Oh, that's not bad.
That's good.
That's good.
Love that.
I feel like it doesn't make a lot of sense because I don't think it would.
Makes no sense at all. But.
I've removed my dick to suck my own. Oh, it hasn't helped at all. God, I've just removed my dick. No.
Screw taking out some ribs. Just cut your dick off and shove it in your mouth. Shortcut.
Exactly. Maybe we can implement that at the glory hole.
So what else do I got? Okay, so I don't know if you can see anything else. Is that too bright? Can you see?
Can you move it over a bit?
Move it over a little bit. Daisy May Cooper.
Oh, that's no good. Well, I mean,
and then Smokehead Whiskey Review.
Yeah. All right.
So what's this? Before, is that something you've already bought that you were seeing what it was like, or are you in store, or you're going to order it online?
No, that's okay. I've gotten shit for this before, that I'll buy like a fancy whiskey and then get home, and while I'm drinking it, I'll watch the YouTube review videos.
Oh my god. Not only do you do that, but you've recently gotten the facial hair of someone who does that.
yeah real Smokehead Review mustache I got going. Yeah,
exactly.
On
yeah. I love whiskey connoisseur.
Yeah,
I love a guy that makes graphs ripping on a dude who watches whiskey reviews.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's quite different from me, so it's hilarious.
Yeah, so it's a Smokehead Whiskey Review, so I watch the whiskey reviews so I could smoke my own head. And then the Daisy May Cooper, I mean, nothing good there. Just watch This Country. It's a BBC comedy on Stan, and she's one of the stars. It's fucking fantastic. So just
why did you Google her to see if she was single?
Yeah, basically.
What is it? Daisy May Cooper bikini. Why has it got that, Mike?
Yeah, because
that's you when you're 12, like looking to the left, looking to the right before you type in bikini after your favorite celebrity. I've already have Cameron Diaz in there. Now I just have to type in bikini.
Yeah, not even nude. I just want a fucking bikini level shot.
Oh, yeah. Dream high, brother.
Daisy May Cooper.
At least settle on topless.
Pin up on Harley.
No, that's just a show that's worth checking out. And I just Googled her because the show is her and her brother, and the characters in the show, they're all related. It's all very family, close related. In for the backstory. And one by one, I wanted to see each one of them nude or in a bikini. So here we are.
Even the dudes. What?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We'll keep moving because we're already
keep moving. Yeah, let's keep moving.
Let's spin the wheel for Capper. Let's look at a little slow spin there. And is that like, that's search history as well.
Search history.
Yeah.
Oh, search history. Jesus.
I don't think we've had this for you for a while, Cap.
Yeah. I've probably got a little bit of stuff here, actually. I've been a bit crazy lately, just searching stuff erratically. You know, you kind of get in that stage of lockdown where you just want to know what everything means. I've got...
I don't know if we could read that.
Fuck.
You might just have to pick something. Just go three or four down and tell us what that is. The Oppo. I don't know if you're familiar. Capper's piece of shit phone. The Oppo. It's really... Here we are, two and a half years into the podcast, and he still uses...
It's very cracked.
$700 could have helped.
Yeah. Could have bought fucking seven Oppos for that.
Exactly, yeah. He thinks currency in terms of Oppos.
Do you know what?
Oh my God, that's seven Oppos. Thank you so much, Tom.
That was three Oppos. But I put them above the bedhead. I didn't... I framed them. I didn't...
yeah.
I mean, I just keep the same one.
In case of emergency, break the glass and then you've got a second up there. <Yeah.
laughs> okay, so I've got, there's a band, I love this album by this band called Fuck Buttons. I don't know if you guys ever listened to Fuck Buttons. And this shows how bored I was. I was like, oh, Fuck Buttons, that was a good album. And it's got me listening to Fuck Buttons. It's got clothing with Fuck Buttons written on it. That's what I Googled.
Right.
I just wanted to support my band. And
so you wanted to buy the Fuck Button?
So instead of putting in Fuck Buttons merch, you put in clothing with Fuck Buttons written on it.
Yeah, I've really gone crazy.
I like the idea, though, of a T-shirt with Fuck Buttons written on it because it's like you've hit Fuck Button up shirts. You're like, Fuck Buttons, bro, I'm wearing a tee.
Rage Against the Machine, look out. I'm fucking up buttons.
I don't even care about buttons.
Yeah, who gives a fuck, bro?
That's a very cool stance to take in public.
So is the name of the band, is it Fuck Button or Buttons, plural?
Fuck Buttons, yeah. They're really good.
It'd be fun if Dan Andrews announced a new curfew. It's 9 p.m. for everyone and 5 p.m. for Nick Capper if he wears that fucking shirt. It's lame, dude. You're like, what?
Yeah, that's like the mask for the body. It's just like keeping people away from you.
Yeah. This is
2 meters, not a problem. Not in this shirt.
Man, you don't need a mask if you've got Fuck Buttons just written on a shirt.
Yeah, the joke we just did.
I'm scrolling, all right? I'm concentrating on two things.
Oh, yeah, feel free to pop out at any time and repeat what we've said. Yeah. Look,
this one's pretty dark, actually. We've got a drawing competition, right? Me and my friends, where we send each other drawings, and my girlfriend puts the subject in the drawing group. So she's like, okay, you got to draw today a giraffe. And then
that's so fun.
A giraffe. And she put in one that was like, your first memory. What do you have? What's your first memory? And my first memory, I think, is me drowning. I nearly drowned when I was a kid. My dad parked on a cotton farm, parked next to this kind of irrigation reservoir. Like we call them channels, an irrigation channel.
Yeah.
And I opened the door and walked straight into the irrigation channel. And he was talking to someone. He didn't know that I'd opened the door.
Oh.
I was like three or something like that. And I can only remember the brown bubbles. Seeing the brown. And apparently Dad was talking, and then he saw my hand sticking out of the water.
Oh, like my God.
My little hand sticking out, and he saved me. I Googled a Toyota Hilux because I knew he drove a Toyota Hilux, but I couldn't get a sight on one to draw with my hand sticking out of the water. And then once I'd finished the drawing, I was like, this is pretty bleak to put in friendly
Everyone
drawing.
Everyone else has just driven a house, drawn a house or something. Yeah. You're like, yeah, the time I almost fucking died.
Jesus Christ. But at least, so how old were you at the time?
I don't know. It was two or three or something.
But you had the wherewithal to put your hand up out of the water. It's
pretty
good. Yeah,
Dad said that was a real weird thing. He said it was so weird that I stuck my hand up out of the water.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, it makes sense it's your first memory. That'll get you fucking logged on if nothing else does. Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if he hadn't have seen you, you would have just been off. Was it like their flow?
Oh, no. Or you would have just been down. Flowing. No, it was just straight. Yeah, yeah. It was
when
flowing,
you put
yeah.
your hand up, did you at least like give the thumbs up like the end of Terminator 2?
Yeah, yeah before, when you were three and you almost died, did you do it in a cool way?
To a movie, movie that hadn't been invented yet?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could say I was ahead of my time in that respect. Yeah, I think it was that, or I remember swimming in the dam with Dad, and I think it was a conjunction of both things.
Right.
Yeah. But I remember my dad must have told one of my friends once, and my mate said to me, like, my friend, this is how good my friend was. He's like, yeah, man, I think you're a bit slow because, like, your dad told me you nearly drowned when you were little, and it kind of oxygen to the brain.
Oh, this is what I was going to fucking get to. Yeah. Was there, yeah. So were you officially fucking like brain dead for a while, or what happened?
I don't know. Probably for 37 years.
It would explain a lot, is what we're saying.
Look, I just thought I'd clamp down on that one before you fucking hyenas got in there and started feasting on me. Because I hadn't heard it before. I hadn't heard it before.
Yeah.
But it's really funny because my dad didn't tell my mum. He was that scared.
Yeah.
It wasn't his fault, but he was like,
oh, still.
So scared of telling her. He didn't tell her till like, I was like 10 or something.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and you had the memory.
Yeah.
Did you start talking about the memory and that's why he
because,
told us?
No, because of the lack of the oxygen to the brain, Capper didn't start speaking till he was 10 years old.
It's a classic symptom of borderline retardation.
That was my first words.
Textbook stuff.
Dad left me in the water.
Yeah. Yeah. He said brown bubbles. He just said brown bubbles for the first 10 years.
Anyway, yeah, so that's pretty dark, actually.
No, it's good.
On to Tom, on to Cashman.
Cashman, should we spin the wheel for your phone?
Yeah.
All right. So there's the wheel. It's going. We've had two search histories. And that looks like, I think that's draft tweets. Oh, an ad came up.
An ad for Kleenex came up. Yeah. I'm like, hello.
Draft tweets.
Draft tweets. Okay. I've been kind of not really tweeting recently. In part, I don't know, it just feels like a difficult time.
You already got one there?
Yeah. It's one that was inspired by you guys.
Oh, shit. Yeah. You might have to turn the brightness down there. Oh, there we go. All right, so when two guys with mustaches kiss, they have to do it upside down like Spider-Man and Kirsten Dunst. That's beautiful. That is.
Because I was going to make fun of you guys for both having mustaches, but then, Kappa doesn't have one.
Yeah. My favorite one of that when you showed me was Harry June is for real. What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, there's a few interesting ones in
there.
Evil
Harry. Harry. I think that was just part of a conversation, but then these, I don't know what they say.
How autistic are you that you got to fucking draft your conversations? What's going on there, brother?
I think I just got out and then went back in.
Yeah. All right. You got something here. Thinking about what Bill Hicks would have had to say about the coronavirus. Hell yeah. What do you think he would have said?
Oh, he'd say, I reckon he might have been a 5G guy. But then also, I reckon if he'd lived and he was as old as he actually would be, then I don't know. He could have been a Trump guy. Like, it's impossible to say.
Yeah. Well, because he was all anti-authoritarian and, you know, like, fuck the system and all that. And that's Trump is, you know, that's why they hold him in high esteem because they think he's an outsider that's come in to challenge the status quo. Yeah.
Can I say, but I reckon he would have loved the face mask. I think he would have been like, because he was a famous leather jacket guy and nothing looks more badass than the face masks. He would have got into that.
He would definitely be in that Rogan sphere, I guess. You know, that kind of like.
That's an equivalent thing. Bill Hicks would have been friends with Rogan for sure.
Yeah.
If only God had given us that's like the world.
Yeah, that's like the comedy nerd way. That's like a nerd would be like, I bet Spider-Man and the Hulk would be friends. Or
dude, who would win in a podcast off? Bill Hicks in the 90s or Rogan right now?
Well, I've thought about this and but isn't that what Rogan is? He's like anti, like rights, like libertarian or whatever. But then he's also like kind of like, hey, America's still cool. It's still cool to be a fucking madman. I don't know.
I feel like Rogan to me has less beliefs than Bill Hicks was a very strident, opinionated man. And I feel like Rogan is a bit more of a chiller to me, who likes being in flotation tanks and likes MMA and listening to people.
I reckon Bill Hicks, if he was still alive, I reckon he probably went at the right time because, like, he would be so annoying.
Oh, just one of those
annoying guys.
He was annoying then, looking back.
Yeah.
It's just a 60-year-old Hicks yelling at you.
Like, oh, God. And he's still like spinning a chair around on stage so he could sit on it and fucking talk to you that way. Yeah. Any tell it like it is comic is the fucking worst dude in person as well.
Yeah.
My favorite is his set on Hey Hey It's Saturday.
That is so
mental
good,
that he was on that.
Oh, that is so good. I think as he got older as well, there was more yelling and woos. So I reckon by this age, he would have been just going, yeah, woo. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah,
just dancing for like 50 minutes, just dancing, going, woo. Yeah.
Yeah. It becomes a physical comic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bill Hicks is a mime now.
I remember doing a gig with a comic that was a musical comic who had a big single. I'm not going to mention his name, but he was a nice dude. But I did a gig with him, and he was killing, like just riffing, because he had that much stage time that he could just riff real good and just everything like that. But then he got into one of his parody songs, and it wasn't funny at all.
Yeah.
So then he just played Blackbird by
the Beatles.
Beatles, yeah. He just played that.
But like an actual song.
Yeah, and just didn't then just went back into bits. But that's, just thought, oh, well.
That's my favourite type of comedian is someone who's been doing it for ages. So all their material, they haven't written new stuff, so all their material is like 90s kind of very saccharine kind of nice stuff. But, yeah, as you say, they've gotten really good at just like roasting people in the crowd and like getting big laughs. So they're like, fuck you, man. Who the fuck do you think you are? You suck. Like, nice jacket, dickhead. Like, everyone's like, ah, this guy's crazy. And then like into a ukulele song.
Yeah.
Which is a parody of like just, the Spice Girls. What?
Yeah. Yeah. There's all that. There's me, the shit I've learned to do over 20 years of just crushing with hacky bits. But also, look, I could play the guitar pretty well. There's just no joke.
Yeah.
Whatsoever. Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's, when people get to a point where they want to be taken seriously, which is the worst thing that can happen in any comedian's career, in my opinion. Do you want to say more, or is that...
Yeah, one more. Give us one more.
One more. I think you got to go. Okay. A barber was just getting a haircut when the barber found out JobKeeper had been extended, and he almost cut my head off.
Whoa. Yeah, so I mean, now I'm in the position where I've got to explain a story where I just decided it wasn't funny enough to even tweet. Which I suppose is the idea.
Yeah, that's happening.
But yeah, when... I was getting a haircut like a few weeks back, and the guy, like at a barber, I don't know him, but it's the one I go to. So it's like I have the regularity, but he doesn't know me. But he was like saying to me, oh man, like the business with this COVID stuff, like I think it might, you know, we'll have to end. Like JobKeeper's ending in September. Like it's, I don't know what we'll do. And I'm like, yeah, will you survive, you think? He's like, I don't think so. Like I think we're going to have to close up in about a year. It's very sad, man. And I'm like, oh, that's no good. And then another guy walked in and started, like, just sat down in, like, the waiting area. He's like, yeah, it's no good, man. So only a month left of my business. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to move back in with my family. And no good at all.
Are you doing and a... Then, what's his accent you've
oh, I don't know. He has, like... I don't know even what his accent was, but I'm, okay. I suppose I'm just... I'm a bit of a character performance. So I'm like, kind of just remembering...
what is his bit dude, of what like Bill Hicks would be if he was what? Still alive.
Yeah, I think he's probably a Middle Eastern dude.
Okay, cool.
But the guy in the waiting area was like, oh, man, I'm listening to your conversation. JobKeeper just, Scott Morrison just announced today it's going to get, it's like extended through like until next year. And he's like, what? This is fantastic news. But he's still cutting my fucking hair like and shaking with excitement. And I'm like, oh, maybe take a minute. And then I think the guy was like, yeah, till March. He's like, till March. Like almost took my fucking ear off. It was very nice to see, but also very stressful.
Just Edward Scissorhands all over the place.
Yeah. You're there for a nice, joyous moment. I think you want someone happy cutting your hair more than someone depressed that's going to lose their fucking job, right? Because actually, the last haircut, too happy. But the last haircut I got before this, the dude said, oh, I've seen you at the Comics Lounge before, right? And usually I'll just fucking lie. To a barber especially, I'll just go, oh, I work in graphic design or whatever the fuck bullshit, you know? And then he was like, oh, I've seen you at the Comics Lounge before. And he goes, and then he starts telling me his jokes, like his shit he thinks is funny. And I felt so goddamn compelled to laugh because I didn't want a shitty haircut.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like the pressure was just out of control. And as you can tell from my haircut,
if you don't accept... I reckon.
Yeah.
You've also got to laugh because if he doesn't think you're going to take his like jokes, that means he's got to make your hair funny. He's going to deliberately put a few gags in that.
Yeah.
Not where you want any gags.
This clown wants a haircut? No.
You go, Mike.
Oh, I was just saying, because he had seen me at the Comics Lounge, I was like, well, do you remember any of the other acts that you saw? And he goes, well, one was a real old Australian guy that was doing, frankly, some racist bits. And I was like, that does not narrow it down for the Comics Lounge. And the listeners that work at the Comics Lounge that listen to the show, just it was all good fun. Don't worry about it. I still want to get booked if we ever go back.
Yes, exactly. It's never a good time when your barber's being frank with you. Don't be frank. I had a barber recently where he was like really nervous as well. It was a similar thing where it was like literally shaking. And like I think he was pretty young as well. I reckon it would have been his first week or something. But it's the only haircut I've ever had where, you know, they show you the back of your head. He showed me the mirror. And, you know, that's a formality as far as I'm concerned. I don't really care. Yeah. It's always fine. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, it looks good. And he went, oh, thank God.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like just shaking with nerves. It's weird to have it like a nervous hairdresser. I've never even thought about it.
It's so weird because I don't think anyone's ever been shown the back of their head and been like, what the fuck is that? You know?
Exactly. Like, how dare you?
You just want to get out of the situation.
I did the cheapest thing ever. Mike, you might remember I went to a curls specialist once and it cost me like $120 to get before my sister's wedding. I think I had to go straight to the podcast and I was like running late. I thought it would take an hour, but it had been like an hour and a half and I got directions on. It was the most beautiful haircut I've ever had, but also this instructions thing. But I live on Victoria Street now, which is like just full of Asian restaurants and hairdressers and stuff. And the rule is you get the best quality product for a cheap price, but you get shit service. So I just took a photo of that haircut into my local hairdresser. This Asian guy didn't talk to me once, just nodded and just said, yep, and cut it exactly like that for $15.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it is the biggest loophole in hairdressing ever.
Yeah. And also the first Asian curl specialist in the world.
He did it in like
got straight hair, that's all I'm saying.
Not one poster on the wall, no music, nothing. Just come in, get your fucking hair cut, leave.
Oh, and that from memory that cut was rough to look at. That was it was pretty severe.
It's funny to come straight to a podcast where all you do is roast each other from a curls specialist.
Yeah. Well, I remember Mike was angry.
Just got a perm.
Well. He looked, because I was so late, Mike was a bit angry, but he was kind of like, I don't know what to say here. Like, yeah, you look different. You know who he was arguing with. It was cool. It was cool. It was the first time I've seen Michael confused, which is great.
Yeah. It was a very Clint Howard look, Ron Howard's brother. It was strong, you know?
The one I've never heard of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mike. You hit the nail on the head there.
Dude, look him up. It's absolutely spot on.
Second only to your SpongeBob reference earlier.
All right. Let's get into the hacks. This is the Dice app. So every time I tap it, it rolls the dice. So let's see what I have to do this week. That is a three. That is a three. Oh. So rolling on a three, that's a Facebook comment or a deep like on a status or a photo.
Oof.
So what I'll do okay. here is I'll share the screen with you guys. Oh, maybe I'll wait until we land on someone to comment on. So in honor of Tom Cashman being on the show, I'll put in T.O., see who comes up that isn't okay. connected. Okay, this guy, let's go with this dude. He is the husband of a pretty close friend in Perth. So I'll share a screen. Okay. Capper, do you want to do photo? Do you want to do status? What do you want to do here?
Okay. All right. So we got Todd. We're not going to say his last name.
Yeah.
Oh, he looks lovely.
Todd looks like a nice guy.
Yeah. Mm.
Got a heap of photos. Scroll down underneath birthday. Let's see if there's anything
470
else
friends. Loser.
Is there a photo?
Can that be the comment?
That's not bad. That's pretty good. I like it. I think that's great.
Okay, Mike. I've got a different thing. I've got a different thing that I thought I might try out. So, you know, up the top. Oh, no, sorry. Oh, no, this is a comment. This one's different. All right.
You want to do a comment?
Yeah. Have you got a photo of him? Have you got a photo of Todd?
What do you mean? In his photos, there's plenty
of
him.
Yeah, just a photo of Todd.
Profile picture.
Right. Yeah, we could do the profile pic.
Yeah. Take a look on that.
It's come up like that.
No, you can't comment.
It's a pretty low-res profile pic. That's another comment I'd make on this fine bloke.
I want, because okay,
few social media mistakes being made.
Here's one of him. He's drinking and he's smoking a cigar. And this one is one of the only ones with him without any of his children. So that's good. We've ruled out any photos with kids in it. So what do you got, Cap?
All right. I've got two. I got two you can choose. I got, you look great, man. And in brackets, I'm not a gay man, by the way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Or you've got this one. Mikey want mummy's nipple.
Oh, my God. No, wait, because I'm like closer friends with his wife in the, you know.
And you think that's going to be interpreted as you hitting on his wife. So like
somehow.
Yeah, you're going to. So everyone knows, if you want to have sex with someone's wife, you go to a photo of them smoking a cigar on Facebook and add a public comment being like, can I suck on a nipple?
Mikey wants mommy's nipple.
Well, what's worse is they just had their second kid a couple months ago. All right. And the photo's from 2017.
It just doesn't make any sense. It's just a photo of him smoking a cigar, having a beer, looking pretty cool. Hashtag parent. What does that mean? I thought it was Peroni. Yeah. Peroni Nastra.
Peroni.
Zero.
Yeah.
That's the beer. Yeah. So it doesn't make any sense. It's from 2017. And also.
Just say you want mommy's nipple on that.
Well, because they know that Melbourne's in stage four lockdown. They're living it up in Perth. And then the first they've heard from me in a few months is me commenting, Mikey want mummy's nipple. And that's done.
It's an honest update. He's done it.
He's done it. Oh, that's great, man. That is.
There's two other comments. One says happy birthday and one says something else like woohoo. And they're from 3 years ago, both of them.
The other one says perfect. Yeah. So they're two women who will get the notification as well that Mike Goldstein commented, Mikey want mummy's nipple. God damn it. All right. I'll leave that up.
I feel guilty about that one. That one's every now and then you get a cracker like that, you're like, that's good.
All right, rolling the dice for Cap. It is on a two.
Two.
All right. Nice. Two for Capper. So Capper, this used to be oral, but we've decided at the behest of our listeners that that one was played out and no one was really enjoying it as much anymore. This is on Patreon. We did a poll on Patreon and they said you should change it up. So we have a new game. It's a get out of jail free card, but this one's called Worst First Impressions, right? I give Capper a celebrity to impersonate for probably the first time he's ever tried, and they have to, and he, as this celebrity, he has to have a real fucked opinion about something, right? So, okay. Capper, are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
So I want you to do your best impression of Jeff Goldblum, who believes that all lives matter. All right, here we go.
What are you going to do now? You're going to put everyone in a lunchbox, separate everybody from a thing. You want blacks, you want whites, you want women, you want men. All lives matter. Asian, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You don't put them all in a lunchbox. You don't want to sell them. Black, white, Asian, it doesn't really matter.
This all is lives sick.
Matter. All, it's so good. Right? Is all lives
matter. Oh my God. How are you so good?
All right. I think that's
when the lunchbox come into it.
I think that was from Jurassic
Park. Thought about it a lot.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. I think.
Oh my God. Your Goldblum is awesome. I was really impressed. I was like, he's fucked. This is.
You did that pretty well, man. All right. Well, to the listeners, let us know what that one's worth keeping. Worst first impressions. We'll keep doing it. We've done a few on Patreon and it went pretty well. Again, another plug for the Patreon. Get in there. Cashman, you can roll the dice, see what that lands on. We have some pre-planned hacks for you. Should we just float those and see how you respond?
Sounds good.
Okay. So the first idea for a hack for you, Cashman, was you said before that you're currently in a relationship.
Oh, no.
Would you put this up, I guess, on Facebook? You would say, so I'm currently in a relationship, but I've had a ton of success on the apps. If anyone wants help building their profile or tips on the best results to get yourself out there, I'm more than happy to help out. Shoot me a DM.
Okay, so I am actually cool with that because I thought it was going to involve my now girlfriend, so I was worried. And now I'm just relieved that it doesn't involve her. So I think, if someone actually hits me up based on that, you just sent it. Oh my God!
Do you think Facebook or Twitter, or what would be the best?
I think Twitter people will know it's a joke.
Yeah.
Facebook, you could get some. You could get a few people from uni or something. It's extremely embarrassing.
I got one for you, Cashman, but I don't know. It's a new type of one. It's you just posting a video on Facebook, right? Of you going, gonna take my dick and blow my load, gonna come till I can't no more. And then that's it, just having that video up on Facebook.
Holy shit.
Old Town Road.
Oh, God. So is the idea that I choose between these?
Yeah, you choose one.
If that's okay.
Do both.
Oh, no, that would be, I think I choose the first one, in part just because, like, I'm friends with my grandma and stuff, like... Facebook, it's embarrassing enough to be like, I can make you a superstar on Tinder, but another to be like, I drink my own cum in a video.
Gonna take my dick and although blow my load.
I might have added the drinking the cum bit to be honest. I don't know if that was that's a bit of my own creativity there. Yeah, exactly.
Excerpt from your dream book there, Cashman.
exactly. All right, so am I posting this?
So read it out, post it, and then just read it out one more time.
Good Lord. All right, so I'm currently in a relationship but had a ton of success on the apps in inverted commas. If anyone wants help building their profile or tips on getting the best results, I'm more than happy to help out. Shoot me a DM. I'm going to add an exclamation mark.
And then leave it up for an hour or fucking pull it whenever. Depends. We really just want to see what kind of DMs you get from that, because I bet some comics will comment phone hacks or some shit, but it's also weird for this shit to go out late on a Friday night. But
totally. And I think, I mean, yeah, it's things like this. It's like what happened last time with Georgie Carroll. I would hope that everyone I know would know that this isn't right, but I expect that that's not the case, that some people will be like, oh, this is a... I mean, imagine if this could be the beginning of a new business. I mean, it's similar to the cat photo we talked about before. If this gets enough traction, you could be looking at the new matchmaker extraordinaire.
Yeah, who was the guy, the mystery or whatever, the magician-looking guy that, you know, gave all the tips on negging chicks and how to pick up?
Oh, yeah, the game.
Totally, yes. Okay, so I could become a pickup artist by proxy for other people. So I get all of the lame reputation, but none of the roots. Perfect.
Yeah. Man, thanks so much for being on. Killer episode. And then I hope you're enjoying your freedom in Sydney. It sounds nice.
Yeah.
It's pretty sick. And I'm happy to see you guys will have no trouble kissing now that only one of you has a moustache.
We Spider-Man kiss every time anyway. Mike makes me hang from his pull-up bar. And hey, man, you've got a good podcast with Sam Thornton.
I do. I have a podcast with Sam Thornton. I don't know if the word good is in the title, so I suppose that is true. It's called The Good Stuff. So give that a listen.
Well, you guys really went out on a limb there with a concept. And
it's actually one of 18 other podcasts with that name. And we didn't really look into it before naming it. And I suppose our goal is just to be the most popular one with that name.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah,
check
well,
it out.
You know, that's good, man. It's good. I've got to listen to it because I got great reviews from our good friend Gareth War, who says he loved it. But then again, he loves this podcast, so why the fuck trust that fucking weirdo? Yeah.
If you're listening, mate, fuck you, you low standards having dickhead.
Fuck you.
All right, well, you got to get to the glory hole, and we got to get back to our government imposed isolation. So
it's not true, but
yeah. Thanks again. And man, we'll talk soon.
All right.
Sounds
see you,
good. See you later, guys.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Phone hacks.